Welcome back. Hello, I'm Barry Holzer.
And I'm Hani Holzer.
And we're here with another segment of Parent is a Verb at OUradio.org. Today, we're talking about creating your own family traditions. I guess the first question is, what are family traditions and why are they important?
I guess from my perspective, family traditions are shared experiences and memories, and they're important because they're the collective that you share together in years to come. Do you remember when we used to? Do you remember how we always did? Those are the things that you have to take with you as you move in your life ahead.
Now, I think also that when a family has a tradition of something it does every year or every month or something it does together, it's part of the family identity. It's a statement of who they are and what's important in their lives.
Right, absolutely. I think it's a transmission of our family values. It's a way to define goals and put them into action. It answers the questions of, you know, what do you hope to convey and what legacy do you want to leave?
I think Judaism has a lot of traditions. Rav Hirsch points out that we were first identified as families by the blood of the Korban Pesach being put on the doorpost of each home. And Pesach, as we know, families had to join together to make the Korban Pesach. And Pesach is full of rituals and traditions that are part of us as Jews. Okay, so today I think we want to talk about is how we can create our own traditions and what's important about them. What else do family traditions really give us?
Well, I think, you know, family traditions can be an expression of what are your values and what's your goal to accomplish the transmission of that. So, for instance, if your value as a family is strong connection, well, how do you accomplish conveying that this is a family value? You model connection with each other. And the way you model in connection with each other by creating these traditions is by we get together to do these things. And we do these things as a family. We join together. Another goal might be, in this family, we show respect for one another. Well, how do we show respect for one another? Well, when we're cooperatively creating this meal together or this pre-meal menu, well, that's how we can show respect for one another. We get along with each other. We take turns. We invite each other to come in and be part of the process.
I think that as parents, one of our main goals is to really transmit these values to our children, whether it's respect for authority, acceptance of others, the love of Torah, the idea of doing chesed, acts of loving kindness, working for the community, humility. All these lessons are, when we talk about them, don't really convey and teach what we want. But in the traditions, in the actions that we do, the messages, I think, really can be taught in a positive, interactive way.
Positive, interactive, and also this is, I think, an extraordinary opportunity for personal creativity. Personal creativity from a mother's perspective, personal creativity from a father's perspective, and creativity as a family. You know, this is also an opportunity to create and experience an enormous amount of joy around being with each other and even transmitting Jewish values, or especially transmitting Jewish values.
Right. And I think it gives the children an opportunity to really share in creating and coming up with their own twist on how we do things or what we do or what they want to add. Remember, children learn by what they see much more than what we tell them. Right? Do as I say, not as I do, has never been an effective approach, and is certainly not a very Jewish approach. Right? We teach by modeling, and including our children in these traditions are really very important. Now, let's talk about the specifics. What traditions are we talking about?
Well, you know, I think any event coming up in your family or any event coming up in the calendar year is an opportunity to create a tradition around with your family. So there are lots of opportunities that we have in our calendar year between all of the holidays, Shabbat every week, vacation, and tons more.
And I think there's, you know, actually ample opportunity to just create times for, you know, traditions in the family, even if it's like the school break, and what we do and how we do. But let's just start with some simple examples.
One thing that I want to go back to, because I always go back to this, is think back to your own childhood. Thinking back to my childhood or to your childhood, Barry, what were the family traditions? What were the things that I can say now, or you can say now, remember how it was before Pesach? Remember how it was on Hanukkah? We always did X or Y. Thanksgiving, we always went to a Broadway play as a family. I remember that, right?
Right.
You talk about that a lot.
Right. I remember what our family did. I remember, right, the things that we did every year. The years sometimes meld together, but you remember that this is tradition this family did. I remember what the house smelled like before Pesach. I remember what it was like getting ready for Sukkot. You know? And so creating these traditions in the family and creating joyous traditions, because it's really, it's an ability to take what could be the mundane and really make it a special occasion. So simple things like, you know, start with, you know, with Hanukkah.
That's one of my favorites. I remember early on in our family history, Thanksgiving was the time when we made Hanukkah cookies. Everyone was off from school. It was usually sometimes a week before Hanukkah or sometimes 3 weeks before Hanukkah. So we could make the Hanukkah cookies early, freeze them if Hanukkah was later, eat some, of course, the day we made them. You had to eat them. That was part of the tradition. But, you know, that gathered us all together in the kitchen. There were cookie cutters, there were aprons, everyone knew that they, you know, what we discussed who was doing what? Who was going to be in charge of ingredients? Who was going to be in charge of distributing aprons? Who was going to roll out the dough? Who was going to put out the toppings?
Right. I remember the toppings were a big deal when you were making the cookies, and the kids got very creative with different, you know, the sugar or the sprinkles and so forth. And I remember getting all the different cookie cutters for the menorahs and the dreidels and, you know, the mug and davids and so forth. It became a very special event.
Right. You know, it promoted teamwork, that's for sure, and connection, and laughter, and memories.
And I think that's really what's important, because I think the children really take those memories with them. And as much as they'll remember the holiday itself, they'll remember the preparation for it. And as Jews, the preparation for the holiday is just as, if not more important, than the holiday itself. We have to remember that, you know, thinking about what we're doing, preparing for it, and making it special is what we bring to the holiday. And so, therefore, in transmitting a love of Yahdus, right, of our own Judaism, this is really what makes the difference.
Absolutely. I mean, I always remember the rabbi talking about, how do you come into Shabbos? Do you, like, come into Shabbos like sliding into home base? Or do you come into Shabbos like, you know, you're waiting for someone important to arrive and you're all ready and you've done all the preparations and you're waiting for the guests to come?
And so that, you know, when we're singing a Hanukkah on Mos Tzur, you know, like we do every night, it's not like, okay, we you know, it's Hanukkah was tonight, so we bought the candles this afternoon and we, you know, or the oil, and we put everything together. It's like a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before, we've been preparing, we know what's coming, we're excited about it. It makes, really changes the whole atmosphere in the house.
Right. It elevates what is otherwise, you know, a holiday on the calendar to something that's has your own personal mark on it. Because we're all going to celebrate Hanukkah more or less the same way. We're all going to do the mitzvot, but what do we do around the mitzvot that enhance the whole experience and elevate it to a whole new level, a level that's spiritual and pure and connected?
From that, I'd like to talk about the next holiday, and that's the one that's really, that's mine, and that's Purim.
You're right. It's yours. You own it.
Because, you know, people talk today about chumras, and that, you know, people are taking all of these stringencies in the chumras, and a lot of people, let's say, with Pesach, are very machmir about what they'll eat and where they'll eat and so forth. And I say, you know, some people are machmir on Pesach. I'm a machmir on Purim.
Yes. Well, what does that mean?
Well, that means that I take the, in other words, I think that the joy of the holiday is a very important, serious thing. Okay? It's not something to be taken for granted. Sometimes people get caught up in the rituals that have to do with being, you know, very perfect and exact and measuring exactly how much you're going to eat and if you eat in the right time and how much you drink, you know, and that's important. I don't minimize. Okay, but they forget about the joy that's involved in the mitzvahs, the simcha, right? The whole idea, tachas asher olavadatos, Hashem bolkecha b'simcha v'tu levav, right? That Hashem says is that He's going to kick us out of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because we didn't serve Him joyously, right? If duas Hashem b'simcha, we have to serve Him with joy. You have to remember that joy is a big part of what we do and who we are. This isn't supposed to be, feel like, you know, a burden all the time. It's supposed to be something we do with joy and happily and willingly.
And Barry, I give you a lot of credit because I'm going to be totally candid when I say that if it were up to me, Purim would be another day on the calendar that we had to get through. And my Mishloach Manot would be as simple could be. We would be observing, you know, all the mitzvah. We would hear the Megillah. We would give Mishloach Manot, we would give Matanot La'Evyon, and we would give to the poor, but it would be another day to get through.
Right, but on our block, Purim is different because we've decided to make it different. And therefore, you know, getting everybody together and talking about dressing up and, you know, making costumes. And
right, well, we usually start planning Purim sometime before Hanukkah.
Well, at least right after Hanukkah at the latest.
Well, usually the conversations start at the Shabbos table. What are we going to do this year for Purim? What are we dressing up as? What's our theme?
Right. And it's really the family gets involved. And then the Shalach Manos are all worked out. And the Shalach Manos, again, it's, you know, people think they have to go spend $50 to make a nice Shalach Manos. I've made nice, beautiful Shalach Manos for $5. But it is all part of something that was really in, you know, that everybody saw us, smiled. It brought a smile to the face of anyone who saw us, anyone who laughed. And we would go around and really, I think, share the joy. And that became part of what we did on Purim.
And a lot of the joy isn't only the day of, it's really the weeks that preceded. It's a little chaotic sometimes, but there's a lot of fun in the chaos and in the planning and in making it all happen. And I think what's been amazing in my experience is that everyone seems to get involved on their level.
Right.
Some people go online and start looking at costumes. Some people start going to the craft store and seeing what they can create. And there's what it does is also it's a lot of interconnection because everyone's talking to each other, not just to Barry or to myself. The kids are all talking to each other about what's going on and what are they doing, what are they planning, and how are they going to do it, and who's in charge. When are we doing the Mishloach Manot? What night are we getting together to pack it? Who's going to use the hot glue gun?
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So there's a tremendous amount of teamwork involved. There's a real respect for each other's ideas. There's a matter of coming to of decision making as a group. I mean, all these things are happening as part of this process. We don't have to say it. We don't have to talk about it. We just do it. And I think that's really the key in these family traditions. It's a matter of doing it, not talking about it. And, you know, you can really choose what's important to you. For some families, it might just be the suda with specific family or specific friends every year. Or, you know, maybe it's, you know, brothers, sisters get together at somebody's house each year sharing, or with specific friends that, you know, you don't always see that you want to share with. That's also part of this idea of, especially over a yontif, for holiday, being able to connect. And Purim is special because, you know, I don't have to sleep over. You know, I can drive an hour and spend a suda, you know, with a relative, with a friend who otherwise, you know, I can't see on Shabbos, let's say. These are the types of connections that you really want to model for your children.
Right. And I think probably what's most gratifying now that our next generation is moving on to having their own homes is that it must have been a good enough experience for them because they're starting to do this tradition, sharing it with us a little bit, but doing it with their friends and recreating that experience in their adult lives, in their own adult world.
Now, moving on. We'll do a couple more holidays, at least one more holiday. We have to talk about Pesach.
Pesach is tricky because, you know, people look at Pesach with a tremendous amount of anxiety very often and fear. The pre-Pesach preparations, unless you're going off to some five-star resort, and that's your family's tradition, which is totally a valid tradition. It's wonderful. But very often for those who are going to have pre-Pesach preparations involving, you know, cleaning out the kitchen, et cetera, and making Pesach at home, it's a harder holiday to approach because it comes with a lot of feelings and not always some of the most happy, best memories. Not Pesach itself. I'm talking about the pre-Pesach.
And I think what's important is the ability to change the attitude and change the approach, because how we think about it is going to define it. And if I come to it with a really positive attitude and say, yes, it's work, but we're going to have a good time.
Well, let's be fair and say that that is a work in progress for a lot of people. And that really, in fairness, is stretching muscles, but good muscles, and definitely worth stretching.
Right. But it's, I think, a worthwhile endeavor.
I totally agree.
And something that is very doable. And that you can create traditions that will help you and really involve your whole family as part of the preparation. So as a mother, you don't have to feel I'm all alone doing this. It should be the entire family doing it as a team.
Right. And that, I guess, around Pesach, where some of the work is, you know, much more physical, and it's not the pre-Pesach stuff, let's face it, isn't always the most creative. It really is labor, and sometimes labor intensive. I think rewarding, part of the tradition becoming rewarding the family and yourself, whoever's in charge of Pesach, whoever's wearing that, you know, that mantle the most, really rewarding yourself and treating yourself kindly and nicely and not getting upset with what hasn't gotten done, but looking forward and really being gentle with yourself around this time.
So one of the things I know about Pesach for my children is they always went to grandma's house to make charoses.
Right.
And that was something they talked about for weeks before Pesach already. When are we going to grandma's? What day are we going to grandma's to make the charoses? Which, number one, we never had to make charoses at home. It was one less thing on the list.
Right.
But they came home with
oodles and oodles of
charoses. About 3 quarts of charoses every year. Which lasted all of Pesach, but it's also became a very important memory and something they shared with their grandmother.
With their grandmother, and also, much to Mom's credit, it became a tradition that they shared with their extended family because all the cousins who were in the area were invited to Grandma's house to make charoset.
Right. And so it became a whole family thing. All the cousins got together and would make charoses together, and this became a family tradition. It's important, you know, you talked about, you know, rewarding yourself, right? The Gemara talks about that, you know, you're supposed to have simcha on Yontiv, and for women, it's with, you know, new clothing, which, you know, all these things, the little things we do for Yontiv, and some families, you know, they try to, you know, man tries to get his wife a little gift for Yontiv. The little things that we do, that's also tradition. Other things that, you know, we can do, I know one of the traditions that my daughter's school created is that the local Tomchei Shabbos prepares large packages for Pesach, and the girls come with their fathers, and it's a special Sunday morning where we prepare packages for poor people. And that's a very meaningful tradition.
It's a lovely connection, I think, particularly because the mothers are always very traditionally involved with their daughters around chesed and chesed projects, so that the school thought to invite fathers in to share that experience and create those memories and transmit those values together is incredibly, extraordinarily special.
Even the guests you invite for Pesach, sometimes it's a grandparent or another relative or certain friends or people in the neighborhood who really, you know, you don't otherwise have. And having a tradition of having certain guests for the Sedarim.
And also, it's not just having the guests, but I think, you know, from my perspective, it's preparing for the guests. Not just that somebody shows up at our house and they take a chair and they sit there like another piece of furniture in the room, but that we don't just put someone in a chair and call that hachnasat orchim, welcoming people into our home, but that how do you welcome a guest into your home? What are the values around that? How do you approach that? And being able to have those conversations, and again, prepare for having a guest. Some guests are easier to have than others. That doesn't mean we don't invite the difficult guests, but we prepare for everyone, and it's conscious and it's mindful.
Because Pesach itself is full of traditions. It's the most wonderful educational holiday with all its audiovisual aids. You eat the matzah, you have the whole Seder plate with all the visual aids there. You eat the maror. So there's a lot of, you know, ritual and tradition that goes into it. But what we can bring to it to enhance the celebration, what we can bring to the Seder even, we've adopted there's a Sephardi minhag of when you talk about Avodim Hayinu, about walking around the table with the sacks over your shoulder as if you're leaving Mitzrayim, right? About it, as if, you know, each year we're leaving Mitzrayim anew. And, you know, when we do that as part of Hallel, B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, the kids enjoy that every year. It might be 1:30 in the morning, and they're up around dancing around the table.
Right. I think also particularly for little children, for them knowing what to expect, when these traditions become part and parcel of who you are as the family, the expectation is always there that this is going to occur. And little children love routine and love to know what to expect next. So this is reinforcing of really what younger children need also. We know what's coming. Oh, we're going to be doing this now. Oh, it's Hanukkah. We're going to be baking the cookies. They know what to expect. It feels secure. It feels safe. It feels predictable.
I'm just going to mention quickly one more holiday. I don't want to leave out Sukkot. Certainly decorating the Sukkah, which everybody can get involved in on their own level.
Absolutely.
Anything from, you know, creating, you know, the paper chains that the kids do in school.
Right. The ones that get rained on and fall apart in 2 minutes.
To painting a mural on the wall, or to putting up the sukkah, or to choosing the slach, whatever it is, or choosing the arba minim. And I know just going with my boys to pick out arba minim every year is something they feel good about it, and they feel very competent in. So all these things are not just educational, but they really build a sense of self-respect. They build a sense of teamwork, of caring for others, of being able to show respect for others. They build all the values that we want to teach our children.
And bottom line, it's healthy, joyful, happy connection.
Those are special events, but how about on a weekly basis? Right? What can we do on a regular basis that's really going to make a difference?
You know, you have to think specifically, what are your family values? What's your family signet? And how do you want to accomplish that? So, you know, are you going to take Shabbos? Happens every week, last I checked, and it's happening very soon again. There's so many opportunities, and Shabbos, depending on the age of your children, things to get creative around. Little children, you know, the Sefer Bereishis, Genesis, it's all chock full of stories. And either it could be about retelling the stories, getting the children involved in telling the stories, or even acting out the stories, where there's a director every week, and that director doesn't necessarily have to be a parent. It could be a child who's the director of the play, and everyone gets a part, and pretty much everyone knows the story or will know the story very quickly. And enacting that story, doing it together, laughing about it, getting creative about it. Ooh, the props. We need props. On Shabbos, what kind of props are you going to get? Well, you'd be amazed what props the kids are going to start dragging out of the bedrooms, the kitchen, and the basement.
Their ability to really enjoy this and do this together, they get very excited about it, and they have your attention and you're the audience, so that in 10 or 15 minutes, they put together this 5-minute skit about the parsha, and it's very exciting for them. And it's really very exciting as parents to be able to see your children create this. and they feel good about it. They certainly remember the parsha and the stories. Even the little ones will now remember what the story was about.
Also, what an incredible way for a child to have his parents' attention.
It really helps a child feel so proud of themselves and what they're able to do. Again, building the values we talked about of the love of Torah, of teamwork, of respect.
And it doesn't always have to go smoothly for it to be a viable, valuable experience.
Right.
Because even when it doesn't go smoothly, it's an opportunity to talk about why it didn't go smoothly and how would we do it differently next time.
And it can be enjoyed no matter how it goes. It's really a way of everybody connecting. And connecting in a way that's not only healthy, but fun, enjoyable, and really very Shabbat appropriate. Another thing that I think is a wonderful thing we picked up from friends of ours is something they call Simchat HaShavua. And Simchat HaShavua is really a weekly moment of gratitude. It's saying, what happened this week that I really appreciate, I really enjoyed, that I really want to share? Because this was really, I'm thankful for it.
Right. I think, you know, one of the things that came out of that idea and tradition, in my own thinking of it, is that the week is so packed and so busy and so frenetic that it's actually hard to remember what happened on Monday as opposed to what might have happened on Thursday. And if our lives are always in fast forward, then what do we ever appreciate and what do we ever remember and notice? So the Simchat HaShavua became an exercise in at least slowing the pace down a little bit and trying to remember and pulling maybe one thing out. For some people, maybe two things out. For some people, maybe a couple more things. Our little one really likes to bring a whole list to the table. So she's got a lot of gratitude.
I think that this concept of gratitude, of modim, of hodah, of willing ability to really express thanks for what we have is something we in our society probably don't do enough of. We take a lot for granted. And being able to appreciate all things, the little things and the big things in our lives, and the fact that we're able to have these positive things even in a week that might have been otherwise rather stressful. And think back. And sometimes people think, oh, what happened this week? What happened on Sunday? Where were we? What happened?
And sometimes what's amazing about Simchat HaShavua is like people forget that Sunday was part of the week. And there'll be one person at the table who'll say, oh, remember Sunday we went to the Israeli Day Parade together? I'm like, oh, right. Like, totally forgot about that. It was an incredible day.
Right. And by the time you get to Shabbat, it's so long ago. And it's important to be able to really express gratitude and be able to share this with others. And the fact that each person listens and respects the other, it shows even your younger child.
Right. And what I've noticed over time as we do this routinely is that people are actually waiting to hear what everybody has to say. And our kids are older. They're not so little anymore. But they're really looking forward. They're interested in hearing what other people, what the good part, what the gratitude part is for other people, because it feeds on their own gratitude.
Right. And I think, as I was saying, even the younger child who often doesn't get listened to or the respect from the older children gets really heard. And everybody feels good about their ability to share. Otherwise, Sunday, some people, you know, Sunday morning, they'll spend an hour together going for a bike ride or some other activity, another way to connect in a healthy fashion. So there are a lot of things that you can do that if you enjoy a specific activity and you can share that with your family, you could all do it together.
Absolutely. I mean, one other thing that I think is amazing, not all families can do it. It doesn't necessarily work for everyone. But as a family book club, if literacy is one of your values and the joy of reading is a value that you want to transmit, well, okay, not everybody's on the same reading level. It gets a little complicated, but there are special books that everyone can read or that can be read to everyone, and then we can talk about what the book is. There's some really wonderful children's literature that you can do as a family and then share the ideas.
Right, and that's the type of thing that you create the event. There's no special day on the calendar for it. You pick the day on the calendar, and you decide if you're going to do it, you know, the third Sunday of the month or, you know, four times a year, or whatever makes sense for you, and you choose what's appropriate for your family. So that there are a lot of things you can create. There are other times in the calendar that lend themselves. So, for example, I know people on Thanksgiving go to a soup kitchen and serve meals. I remember myself on Mother's Day, everybody showed up at Grandma's house at one point or another, often overlapping, when Grandma sort of had the food out and people came and ate. But even it wasn't a regular meal time per se, but everybody came at some time or another and spent a couple of hours with Grandma. So these are traditions, you know, that go back, you know, these are memories from years and years ago. But they really stay with you.
Right. And the truth is that some of those traditions that are sweet in your memory and in your mind, you might even want to recreate in your own family context. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are nice traditions that can be replicated in your own families.
I think to sum up, these traditions are the we always of families. It's we always have popcorn and games on Saturday night, or we always do this before Yontif, or we always do this on Friday night.
Right, or we always eat Chinese for Super Bowl Sunday.
Whatever tradition is for you, what meaning it has that's special to the individual family, it creates a feeling of warmth, of security, of closeness and connection.
When the rest of the world is swirling around outside, knowing that I can come home and I can count on my family and I know what to expect and I know it feels good and I know it's us. I know it's who we are, because the rest of the world sometimes just feels, you know, insecure, unpredictable. But I know I can count on this. That's beauty.
By spending time together in a fun and special setting, family members grow closer. And I think the most important things we do in our family is really create this sense of connection and closeness. Thank you for joining us today on Parent is a Verb. If you have any questions or comments, please email them to parentisaverb@ou.org. Thank you and have a good day.